Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big news that's gone on in Mac. If you bought a 2018 MacBook Pro and it's crackling, you're not alone, mate. Bad news. Who keeps slapping their keyboard? I'm going to slap someone today. That's you, Rickards. You noisy bastard. It was you last week.
I don't like the Apple keyboard.
And it, well, okay, but stop hitting the one that's disgustingly loud, you bugger. Joining me to discuss a fantastic week in Apple news. We're stringing it out. Doc and Patrice starts off. Doc. Oh, no, that's Andy. Oh, I've clicked the wrong one. There we go. Doc and Patrice. I know how to use this, honest.
That's not the first time I've ever heard someone shout, oh, no, it's Andy.
Doc, how you been doing, man?
Good. Today is the first day of football season on both accounts. Manchester plays today and the Oakland Raiders play today, so I'm excited.
Excellent, mate. And that's, you got your footy shirt on?
Always, just to piss off mother.
Yeah, he's not here, unfortunately. He's
good.
I don't know if he's sitting at home throwing sticks, but there's no, he's not in the chat room, so I guess he's not here. Next to him, Patrice, the man who has set up the live stream, but we are getting some issues. Andy and Atco will send you over a bug list when we're finished.
All right.
I've had to give him your static Patrice link that you gave me so he could watch. Otherwise, it wasn't working on Chrome. So things to fix. But I have to say, mate, you've done a cracking job because last night, I'm not saying it was really, really slick. I'd forgotten that we'd switched to the TSO host server to start streaming until it was halfway through the show and I was doing the sponsor reads. And that's the only reason I remembered. It was that smooth and slick. So. Well done.
That was awesome. Yeah, I was concerned a little bit that it wouldn't work or whatever because we had only ever tested it once.
Yeah.
But happy that it works.
Well, that's once more than most of the things we test.
True that.
Yeah, we're not good. Back after a long absence, I hope you've got a note, mate. Andy and Atco, how the devil have you been, buddy?
I just wish that you had accepted that I was serious about my salary demands, that I was willing to walk and let our lawyers negotiate until we came to the settlement. I'm just glad that things finally got hashed out. The Patron vodka has been iced. You sent the person over to set up the shrimp bar. So we're ready to resume now. Thank you.
But that was my point in the first email. We could save on the lawyers. That's what I said.
But somebody said frozen shrimp, not fresh, was perfectly acceptable. And at that point, we said, you know what, let's just have it. I want to preserve the friendship. Let us continue this conversation through our intermediaries. So let's it water under the bridge. Let's not rehash things.
Exactly.
Let's not have you say anything that would cause me to invoke Article 8.
There's a bit happened in your life since the last time we met.
Yes, I've gotten married, and we can't know it. That's not true at all. I've stopped writing for the Chicago Sun-Times. I am not pivoting to video. I'm pivoting towards writing and publishing, which is a lateral pivot, but that's really what a pivot is supposed to be. Pivoting means you just sort of, you maintain the same elevation and plane, you just turn a little bit.
Okay.
So,
and it's going well.
It's going very, very well. I'm going to be launching something pretty soon, as soon as we get the back end stuff finished. And in the meantime, continuing to do a lot of podcasts. I've started, actually, if you are either in the Boston area or you are in an area that has internet coverage, I started doing things for public radio in Boston. So I do about a half hour on tech every other week and during like lunchtime or whatever. If you go to WGBH.org, you'll be able to catch the previous shows and maybe stream it live from really cool places.
Couldn't be happier for you, mate. Well done. Really well done.
Super. That's the great thing about being a freelancer. I will admit that like maybe 15 years ago, as I envied people who were taking like full-time staff jobs, I'm like, gee, it'd be nice to have like a parking space and like health coverage. Yeah. But the great thing about being a freelancer is that you have like, I have like 8 jobs. I can be fired from at least 6 of them before I got into trouble. So this is not a, so it's not a problem. It was, but although it was fun to have everybody consoling me and telling me how quickly I would rebound. That was very, very kind.
There is a certain thing as a contractor sometimes though, and a freelancer where you're like one of the small creatures in Jurassic Park, kind of scared.
But it's only
once in a while.
I will be one of the little squirrels who are saying, gosh, it must suck to be a huge dinosaur and having the climate change like that. Oh, well, time to go back to my burrow and continue to evolve over the next million years.
Next to him, in the south of France, not quite as hot as last week, I would guess, James Rickards.
Hiya, kids.
Oh, blimey. Oh, who's taking a happy pill? Julie, take it off him. What the hell have you been doing then? Apart from eating something you shouldn't.
Looks like I've just found this really nice shirt at the wardrobe. It was for a 1980s party, which never happened. So any excuse to put it on, I will put it on. I've been mowing my friend's garden today in the south of France. It's been lovely. He's away, so I've been given the job of sitting on his sit-on lawnmower and doing an acre of land, enjoying a few podcasts on the way.
Excellent, mate. You didn't drive it into the swimming pool he owns then? That's why you took the picture?
My wife was busy cleaning the swimming pool, but it doesn't mean that we get exclusive use to the whole complex, which is lovely.
Excellent, mate.
Thank you for the job.
Next to him, Chuck, how you doing, bud?
Terrific, thank you. I want to just say on behalf of the rest of the panel, I would like to nominate Andy as our union shop steward and authorize him to do collective bargaining on behalf of the rest of us, because my shrimp was certainly frozen.
Mm. Is that just the American crew, or is he a global franchise?
Oh, no, it's
and,
international.
And, you know, don't even think about sending your Pinkerton men to bust up the union, because we've got sister and brother unions that are willing to make sure that you never, ever, ever get a load of concrete in any of your building sites ever again. So
number 67, number 67 Teamsters.
We have no concrete again, unless there's a body in it.
Jimmy Hoffa. That could be arranged. I know people. And last but by no means least, Adam, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right down here in the bottom square. It's all right.
Yeah, sorry, bottom of the shop with you this week.
Well, yeah, I know you got Andy in a contract, so
Andy's coming. He demands line one. What can I say? You're in line five.
Join our union. That's again, collective bargaining is the only way to get things done.
Yeah, but don't
dang it.
Andy will only collectively bargain as long as he's in line one and you're in line five.
That's all right. It's good down here.
I'm sure that's what Chuck would have wanted anyway. That's probably would have been number one in his demands. I want Andy to be in position number one all the time.
Absolutely. Either that or center square, whichever you prefer.
You and I'll take Christensen for the block.
It's going to take us.
With your contract is you have Patron vodka instead of Patron tequila. So that's why your contract is flawed. You need to talk to your lawyers to re-rate that.
Oh, you're one of those people who can't get Patron vodka. Okay. That's fine. There is no special VIP line of Patron hard liquors. You're right. It's just the tequila line. You're right.
Well, we can't. Shipping to Hawaii is difficult, you know.
Fellas, this is where it's an unfair contract. We don't get that rubbish in this country. It's got to be Finlandia or Smirnoff.
Are you a wine enthusiast or just like sour grapes? I think that's what we're tasting here.
The week in Apple, then. All the stuff's gone on. 2018 MacBooks have got crackling, just after the last lot. Just text them is the new promotion from Apple, saying that you can pay your bill by sending an SMS message, which I find amazing. And Tim Cook has said that music, and he worries about the humanity being drained out of music. Just once, Tim, I want you to go, when someone says, what do you think about something, just go, cha-ching, and be honest, please. Just once. That'd be great. Now, start off then. Now, Chuck, I want to talk to you.
Yes,
so
sir.
Here's my phone, and your pick last week was the Qi wireless charger that went in that plugs into the Lightning socket.
Yes.
And has the, I'm just going to get this out with hopefully without breaking it. There we go. And has this little thing that goes at the back that does the Qi charging. Right. Day one and day two, this is the work of the frigging devil. I hated it. I couldn't get it on the charger right. It kept turning the light blue. I kept getting device unsupported messages, and it was a real pain in the arse. After day two, it levels. It's the fruit of the gods. I cannot recommend Chuck's pick from last week. £8 that cost me. That was it. And it is, well, I paid 35 quid in charger for it as well. But I mean, I'm blown away, mate. Really loved it.
Is that a piece of paper with a new foil on?
Say again, what?
Is that a piece of paper with a coil on?
You've yes, paid 8 quid. I got some magic beans as well when I turned over the cow. No, it works. It actually works. You just plug it in and it's just a, it works. I love it.
The worst part of it for me was that now I want to buy chargers for everywhere that I go.
Oh, I've already done that.
My bedroom, for my office, for my car, because I don't want to take that plug out and put a lightning charger in it again. That's the only thing that's a little
bothering. Never happening. Never happening. Day two, I'd have done it in a heartbeat. Day three, never happening. I couldn't get over the placement accuracy, though. You have got to be on the money, and it takes a day's training to actually hit the charger. Is that the same with the iPhone 10, or is it just me because I've got an add-on chargery type thing?
The iPhone 10 is both. Like, some depends on the charger. Like, for instance, all of my Anker chargers, I can literally throw it at it from across the room. It's good. But I have a Samsung and a company called TechMe. I think I choose as a pick. It was a nice little flat charger. It's actually, like, 2 inches out of reach. Those ones I have to squirrel with. And then recently, the dog's nails on the floor. Recently, we got a new Tacoma, and in the car, it has one. You just drop it in the center console, and it charges the phone. And that one, again, you could throw it anywhere. It just, the car finds it.
That's a little bit of a lie. You have to get them on the right spot. If you get it off enough, it will. And he's right. Different chargers do a better or worse job, but there definitely is a sweet spot. And that was one of the things that I said early on, where I thought wireless charging wasn't going to be as convenient or as convenient as people were alluding to. I will say there I'm wrong. I really do like it now that I have it. But I've had a couple times where I was being lazy at night and I had it way off center off the charger and it didn't charge overnight, and that was my fault. But you do have to, with various chargers, line them up.
Is yours flat or vertical? Because my anchors are vertical, and so the vertical anchors, there's no way to miss.
Oh, you're talking because you have one of the ones that's like the cradle that holds it up. Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, yeah. Design of charger. Well, I have the little flat
fan,
ones.
You know, and I thought the fan was important, but you can't hear it, which is really weird. You got to seriously listen for it. But that fan keeps it nice and cool, and it charges fast. And in theory, to anchor, they say that it won't mess up your battery because they have that cooling built in and some other smart technology. So Anchor's never let me down, so I just picked Anchor.
Well, I have the iOddy One Touch in the car, and that's the same thing because it's a cradle, so it hits the target every time, but it's designed that way.
Well, this kind of leads it, because I've got an upright charger in the car, which is really, really good, and I've got flat ones in the bedroom, which are the ones that really are the hit and miss. And what annoys me is you put it on and it goes green, and then after about 2 minutes, it goes blue, but you're already turned over and rolling asleep at that point.
And I haven't had that problem now.
In the morning, so
not in the bedroom. Nobody's 2 minutes roll over asleep. What are you doing?
I've been married for 21 years, mate. Sleeping's what you do in a bedroom.
No words. I will say that I've got this Senio upright charger, and it's never been a problem. I mean, this cost me about £13 on Amazon, and it's just absolutely brilliant. I've unplugged it because I've obviously just shown you, but this is just worth its weight in gold.
Link in the chat room, please, mate. That'd be great.
I will.
I'm going to buy that for the bedside because it is a pain in the butt.
Drag it, get it. It's good.
Andy, have you reviewed much of the wireless stuff? Is there huge positives, huge negatives, bonus brands, bad brands?
Really, so long as you don't buy the dirt cheapest one. I'm a biggest fan of making sure you have wireless chargers pretty much wherever you sit down. As opposed to whatever your budget is, whatever budget will allow you to make sure that if you have a desk at home, you have one on the desk, you have one on the nightstand near your bed. If there's a place where you sit and watch TV, have one near there. If you have next to the sink in the kitchen, all this sort of stuff. Because the greatest thing about the wireless charging is getting to the habit of wherever you sit down, instead of putting your phone down at a random location, you just put it down on a charger, and your phone is never ever like low on battery ever again. And the other thing is that I found myself not having to almost miss a train because I'm trying to figure out where the hell I left my phone, because it's always it can only be in one of six locations in the house now, because I no longer just toss it somewhere and like forget that I was unloading groceries or something, and so I forgot that I put it on a on a table instead of in this one spot. So I don't, all of them are really 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 good except for the dirt cheap, again the dirt cheapest ones. I do prefer the one next to the nightstand is like a stand sort of model, because like you said, it's almost impossible to miss the target if it's in a stand. It almost lines itself up perfectly. But otherwise, just ubiquity is the best feature.
Right, yeah. It does seem, I mean, it's a genuine open standard, because everything I've bought works. It's just when it works.
Yeah. Weren't you like sort of like, when there was a rumor that Apple would introduce wireless charging, I'm like, Apple, please don't try to improve wireless charging.
Right.
Don't have that line that says, and we honestly think it's the best incompatible proprietary wireless charging system ever. Exactly. There's a standard and it works great. It's like, I know you guys are really happy with the Lightning port, but you know, this time just go along with the other, play nice with the other kids at the daycare, please.
Yeah. And we're going to redefine.
But here's why we haven't used this technology previously. First of all, there's a targeting issue. You have to get it perfectly right. Secondly, you can't fast charge. So that's why you have problems with Samsung and with Google phones. But you will not have it with ours now that we're with iCharge.
Only works with iPhone 10 and iPhone 8. Sorry, okay. iPhone 7.
You're welcome.
She is a bag of hurt.
No, I like it. Now, the first story... Luckily, because I created it that way. Segway, Logitech unveils powered wireless charging stand for iPhone 8 in a collaboration with Apple. Designed in collaboration with Apple, Logitech's powered wireless charging stand can be placed on a desk or bedside table and can hold your iPhone in an upright position, ideal for locking Face ID, and it's by a bedroom. So what you're doing with Face ID on FaceTime. Who knows? The power, you can do it horizontally as well, which I really was quite taken by that. Supports landscape orientation. That is kind of cool.
No? So does my Anker charger.
Does it?
Yeah. I sent you the link in the text. One thing that's really cool about having it on the vertical is it's true. If you roll over and you hit your phone, and the camera can see your face depending on how high your bed is lined up, my phone does unlock most cases. Sometimes my face is really, really smashed from the pillow, and the thing goes, who the hell are you? But normally it works.
Right.
Okay. This actually reminds me of the old Sonos dock. Remember when Sonos used to have its own controller? And you said the boy, it reminds me of that, looking at it, that little lip around the edge. I'm having a look for an image for it, but I can't seem to find it. But that's what it reminds me of, the old Sonos dock.
Yeah. I mean, the thing doesn't look like it's got a huge placement accuracy, because it's mounted in the center, but it doesn't, it looks like it's a very loose guide rather than being here's where it's got to be.
When it's horizontal, yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it shouldn't be a problem. You don't have to get it exact. If you get it, you know, within an eighth of an inch, you're probably okay. Quarter inch.
I think
off,
it has to do with how they set their coil up. If you set your coil Correct. Up with, you know, say like enough space or enough diameter rather, then it's probably easier. If you have, for whatever reason, set your coil up so that it's a tight diameter, then it's harder to hit.
I think that tends to be a difference with the cheaper the charger goes, it seems like it's harder to hit that target. So that's another, to Andy's point, I tend to avoid the really, really cheap ones. But, you know, ones like this that Apple does also tend to be way overpriced. Like any one of them that Apple sells in the Apple store is insane. I mean, they're 40 bucks or more.
This one is crazy. $70 and my Anker is 21. So, yeah. I mean, I can literally buy three of my Ankers and a pint and I'm still good. And be drunk enough to hit the target every time.
Craig, one I've linked into the chat room from Amazon for $10.99, that has two wireless cores. as well for £10.99. It's incredible. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've been Greg Allen's put in a link in the thing to the IoT, which looks really, really cool as well. That's coming in at $54.
The thing about that, Ewan, is that is worth the price. I have one in my car and I absolutely love it. What puts it over the top is their little one touch system. So with one hand, you can mount that and remove it. It has some spring loaded. I made it a pick a while back. And that's the retail price. You can get them for less than that on Amazon. And they have a bunch of different versions. They have a dash mount one with the suction, or windshield one with the suction cup. They have one that goes in your CD slot if you're not using your CD and your stereo anymore. And they have one that, the one that I have, is a vent mount. And the vent mount one is the best vent mount attached system that I think I've ever used. Cool. It has a spring-loaded thing and it grips and locks on. It doesn't like slide around. A lot of those vent mount ones can be really
It's kind of interesting that you guys have been sitting giving recommendations. Chatroom's been shooting out recommendations as well, and they're all at the $20 mark, whereas, you know, there's one that's coming at 54 here, this thing's coming at 69, and it's a price way too far, surely.
Keep in mind the IoT, we're talking about a car mount system, not just a throw on your desk system.
Their throw on your desk one looks pretty cool though, Adam. It has this velvety, what is that jacket called? Houndstooth?
Moleskin.
Yeah, there you go. Moleskin. Mm-hmm. I always think of Moleskin as a notebook. Moleskina. Yeah.
Is that the one? That might be the one. Somebody's doing one that doubles as a portable battery as well.
And I
think that's cool. What that Ion Plus one is it's also, I think, if I'm remembering right.
Dude, that would be cool for my trip for Japan.
Yeah, that one doubles as a battery, so you can charge, you can plug in Lightning or USB devices, and it also double functions as a battery. So when you have it at home and you're using it on the desk, it's there and you can use it for charging. Well, you can use it also wirelessly for charging your iPhone through the battery.
Whatever happened to the phone and watch combo joint? Did it never make it? Or I know Samsung
we're still waiting for it.
Yeah, so Samsung's new one came out or is coming out soon. I saw somewhere on Mac Rumors before. But I would love to have that single piece, because like having them both plugged in on my little stand plus my iPad is just a pain in the butt.
I think the fact that you're seeing Logitech partner with Apple on this charger is kind of Apple admitting that this thing is still going to take a while longer. The one that we're making won't be ready for a while, so we're going to let other people do it with us now.
Do you think they're trying to make the leap and do power and data connection somehow?
Ooh, that would be cool.
And that's why it's delayed, because I can't see, the technology can't be beyond them to make one next week for just charging.
Do you think they're doing what Andy said?
But I would doubt that, because now you're going to need to have a data, if you would have to have a data connection then to another Mac or another device. And what's that supposed to, is what are people supposed to do with that? Also, given that they've already kind of promoted how easy it is to, once any of these devices are connected to power, it figures out, okay, we may as well use Wi-Fi for everything, for syncing, for automating all this stuff. Yep. It's just not necessary. I think this is going to be, we'll see the new dual charger in September at the regular iPhone event. And I think that if we ever find out why it was delayed so long, it'll just be one of those little things where something wasn't quite right and there was just not a good slot and we should get the manufacturer in time. And at some point they say, may as well just, we're already late. We may as well get them out on in September when people are actually already dropping $1,000 for a phone and they won't really wink at spending $150 for a $10 wireless charger.
No, I just couldn't, because I was sitting thinking, why is it going to be delayed? Because the technology is old, in inverted commas, tech, isn't it? So
I'm guessing it has something to do with the multiple coils and the crossover of the fields, and managing that's got to be really, really weird.
Positioning the devices and it's still working, all of that.
Crossing the streams.
Yeah, exactly. Crossing the streams. Correction, that Ion Wired Plus dock, I was wrong. It has a port on it, but it's just a plug-in additional USB port for charging other stuff at the same time. It's not a battery. But somebody is doing a battery one. I just can't remember who.
Apple is promoting pay cash via text. If you want to pay cash, just text them the money. And the ad actually is really cool. No, let me get it. No, let me get it. No, let me get it. And these guys are bouncing 55 bucks backwards and forwards across the thing. But
sounds like my friends. No, let me pay for the whole thing. No, let me pay for the whole thing. It's more like, hi, can I? Gosh, place doesn't take Samsung Thailand-based, Samsung text messaging-based payment systems. I'll have to get you later.
My salad didn't have any tomatoes. I should deduct something from that.
This is kind of cool. But, I mean, is there any real reservations around this? I mean, they wouldn't have done it if it wasn't secure, would they? So,
no.
Being too naive there.
Have you ever used it?
No.
Ewan, it's, like, brilliant.
I use it all the time.
I don't. Yeah. I don't have Apple Pay because the problem is they won't let me put my business account onto it.
Yeah, I can't put my business account on it either.
Barclays won't let it. And then the private account that I've got, I don't do that much with it anyway. So it's no point. I might do it just to tie it really more than anything. But so texting is pretty ubiquitous for you then, Adam?
Yeah, well, there's just a little app and you just tap it and say how much you want to pay somebody and it sends it to them and throws it into their Apple Pay cash account and it's done.
Weird that they're finally promoting it, because I swear that I've been doing it since I think the 10 came out or a little maybe right before that. But what I like about the text version is one of the things it does is it allows you to put your Apple Pay card as an icon on your wallet, right? And then so what happens is when we go out and we're all, you know, having a drink or whatever, and we send each other money, I look at that thing sometimes in my phone and I was like, man, I got like 400 bucks sitting in my phone that I don't have accounted for because I don't automatically deposit it to my bank. So then when I need to buy something under the Mrs. radar, it's just run the phone across the Best Buy and buy it. And she doesn't say, what did you buy?
Does she listen to the show? One.
No, she's not nerdy enough to listen to the show. She just started podcasting.
How much are you willing to Apple Pay me to not tell her to listen to the show?
Mate, no one listens to this crap. The only reason anyone's going to listen this week is because Andy's on. So, I've got to get into it. I've got to try it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to set it up.
I think if you're surrounded by people who do use it, I think you're more likely to use it, to be honest with you. And since I've been here in France, I've not used Apple Pay because obviously I've had a French bank account, which means I would have to have a French iTunes account, which is something I don't want to do.
Not to mention the fact that all the shops by you are closed between 12 and 4.
Let's just say the French know how to live. Just don't work for a living.
It's the local boulangerie still takes francs.
last week
telling him
I wish more websites would get their Apple Pay swag tightened up, because I know, like, for instance, Kickstarter, on the last thing I ever bought on Kickstarter, they had you can pay by Apple Pay, and then when the thing funded, it goes, oh, sorry, we can't process your payment. And I'm like, but we kind of already did that. And then so I had to redo it and, you know, connect it to my regular credit card. But I wish more sites would do it. Mm-hmm. And only it seems that Target seems to be the only one that I use religiously where you can just pay by Apple Pay via the web. Oh, let Starbucks. The dog out. It's killing me.
Andy, I just want to note, before you complain about the unprofessionalism and the lack of quality control on this network. It's not the network, it's James. Okay?
Good. You know, everybody has a Toby, you know? So, God damn it, Toby! Mr. Customer, I'm so sorry. Toby is supposed to be on it. It's my fault for not keeping on. I knew as soon as we gave that project to Toby, it was going to get screwed up. It's now my personal responsibility. I'm not the Toby. That's all I'm happy
about. No, James, sort it out. My problem with things like this is the easier it is to get cash out of me, the more I hate the idea of the fact that I want to use it. I need you to be prying it from my cold dead hand.
Can I tell you that all this sort of stuff has totally ruined my like Comic-Con experience, because I'll be historically like I'll see it, like artists will have their own tables and will have like sketchbooks and other things for sale, and they're nice, but I just don't maybe don't have $20 to spend on this, or I just not $20 interested in acquiring this. And for years, since time immemorial, my general blow off response was been, this is really nice. So maybe like tomorrow, if I still have like some money left, I'll come back and pick it up. And that, but now they start whipping out, oh, well, I have a Square payment. I can take Apple Pay. I can also take NFC. And now I have to like either put up or shut up saying that, yes, I was not trying to stall you off. I was actually going to come back tomorrow. Or do I say, no, I just don't think that your sketchbook is worth $20 of my money. But I still, but the fact that I lied to you should indicate how much I like you and like your value your feelings. And the good ones can guilt me into getting that $20. So I don't. That's a problem.
Deep Banner's put in the chat room, the local boulangerie by James only accepts silk stockings and chocolate. Oh, Chuck's added cigarettes. What about cigarettes? Good point.
Oh, they're still cheap. They're still cheap.
No, that's it.
Since
the Germans left.
It's in Arizona.
Just to wrap this up, this week, I think it was Consumer Reports did a study of those mobile payment systems, and they declared Apple Pay the best one.
Yeah, see, that's another Apple Pay Cash. I want to get over and I want to get on it. Damn you all.
You know, the more people that get on it and the more that use it, the sooner our banks will let the business side come. I think the biggest hang up with Apple Pay so far for me, and anybody tell me, like, if you have the same experience, I don't like the fact that there isn't really yet a cohesive standard. So, for instance, if I go to Best Buy and I buy something, it will always, every single time, ask me for my PIN. And on the chip and PIN standard nowadays, if your card, you get asked the first time you activate the card. After that, it's kind of paired and never ask you again. But on Apple Pay, it asks you every time. Now, all you have to do is press cancel, and that's fine. On some of the machines, they won't even let you press cancel. And then the other crazy part is on some of the machines, it will ask you for your PIN and still ask you to sign. And the whole point of it was to get rid of the signature, so when someone breaks into Target like they did 3 years ago, they don't have all of your stuff. They might have a couple of numbers they won't know what to do with. And so the fact that the banks and the companies can't get their head around the fact that you don't need a signature and you don't need a PIN, they're killing the security of what it's supposed to be. And it's just insanity. It drives me crazy.
Not so much the security, the convenience, right? They're ignoring the security and killing the convenience.
Both, exactly.
I was slightly distracted there. I'm sorry. The reason was Tim Cook and Johnny Ive have just left the chat room. Forgive me for leaving Adam on screen too long and then being distracted, but that's kind of a big thing for me.
I'll have blame Andy later.
I don't know what I said. I'm sorry, Tim. I'm sorry, Johnny. But thanks for coming. Local Apple details improvements to Siri's ability, excuse my laughter, to recognize names of local businesses and destinations.
That should make you happy, man. You struggle with that.
Oh, that's what I'd be happy if they could get the place around the corner from my house without sending me to Idaho. That'd be fantastic.
Hey. Or to a cinema near you.
Or offering a cinema near me. Yes.
Patrice can back me up on this. Siri and names in Hawaii. Actually, Andy's been here too. When I tell Siri that I need to go somewhere on Kalakaua Street, she goes, what? And I'm like, I need to go the fastest direction between Kalakaua and Kalanianiole Highway. And he goes, huh? And I'm just like, shut up, girl.
There's always someone that's got it so worse true. Than you, isn't there? There's always someone. And you're right. You have got it worse than me. It's not that bad.
It's horrible.
why am I getting upset? I need Siri to get better. Because at the moment, I'm so pissed off that I haven't got Alexa on my phone. Because it's just...
I got Reverb.
So much better. I've got Reverb. Yeah, but that doesn't control the iPhone, does it? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want everything Siri to be given over.
Feature. Have you taught it that? That's not how you say it?
No. Tell me more.
Okay, so for instance, I say, Siri, call Andy Inatko. And she goes, call Andy Hakanakano. And I'm like, that's not how you say it. She goes, well, how should I say it? And you go, E-not-ko. And she goes, Inakinakino. And I go, no, one more time. E-not-ko. And then she'll say it perfectly and it never wrong again. So all you have to do is say, call Patrice Brandamore. And then she'll go something and you say, that's not how you say it. And you train her. Now, also, there in iOS 12, there will be a feature called pronunciations. And you literally type in the ones that has a hard time with. So your Brandamores, your Inatkos, and your Ricards. You can like add it to the list. And it will give you an opportunity to do a phonetic. And I don't know how to read that stuff. But when you put it in there, it shows you the phonetic, like the glottal stops like linguistic people use. Yeah, and it gives you like five. And you can pick which is the correct one. And it will never say it wrong again. So that works, you know, really handy with my Hawaiian and Japanese.
Oh, cool. Well, I'll give that a go.
That's
I can
weird
use that around here, too. We have things like take me between Lohat Kong and Pohat Kong and where's the Musconet Kong River and all that kind of stuff. So that would be handy in this area.
You're in
well.
New Jersey, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
The all land right. of the there's, Lenape Indians.
There's a lot of Native American words in this country for things.
All right. Okay. It's, oh, I suppose because Manahatoni and all that kind of stuff around the New York area, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And,
Susquehanny, soak your fanny in a Susquehanny. Hey, yeah, no. How does she say your last name, Chuck?
Well, I was going to mention that. So, somewhere in the, I think, the area of iOS 11, Siri suddenly learned how to pronounce my name. But before that, it was I had to do the same kind of thing.
That struck me like a Skynet became self-aware type moment. when Siri can pronounce Ewan properly, I'm running for the hills.
Well, it does, you know, I'm surprised because the text-to-voice module of Macs and iPhones pronounce my name correctly. So if you like go into like text edit and say and use the speech to text-to-speech. Type my name, spell my name correctly, and then say it. It will say it correctly.
Oh, that was a challenge right there, brother.
Well, no, that's because now this is the thing that really, I'll tell you about one of the, if I don't know, are any of you parents?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, because you probably are familiar with the idea of being both proud and ashamed at the same time, like proud and angry. So at some point I got an email from an engineer at Apple saying that I want to put in like an exception to the speech language so that it knows how to pronounce your name correctly. Could you record you saying your last name five times? And then, oh, okay, that's fine. I'll did that. And then the next edition, it could pronounce my name correctly. And because parents, if you're a freelancer, you really have to do this for a number of years without asking for money to prove to them that you're not saying you're not saying freelancer as a better way of saying unemployed. So I think, here's something cool. Like this is, I told him the story about it and then typed it in. Oh, look, it says, Inatko. And he was really, really proud and really, really pleased. And then he quietly said, the problem with it is that it pronounces it the way that I say Inatko, not the way my dad says Inatko. Because my mother is from Boston. She packs the cat and have it yad. Yep. My dad is from Western Pennsylvania. He parks the car in Harvard Yard. So I'm the only person in the entire family who says Inatko with a soft A. And I had to say, well, Dad, now it's who's the world going to believe? You and your brothers and sisters and your nieces and nephews on your side and your late parents or 50 million iMacs? You're on the wrong side of history.
I'll get my way in the end is just taking on a whole new meaning.
Yeah. Oh, it's super funny. You know how I remembered Andy's name from Macworld? I want to call it like maybe 10 years ago, whatever. I remember he's always has the hat, right? So it was in a hat co, you just switch the H and the N.
Okay.
I learned that a lot of people remembered as I have no idea how to pronounce this person's name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Okay. I've always spelt it right, and you've commented that I always know how to spell it right. Right.
You again. Yeah. There is a society of people who can pronounce my name correctly. You receive the ceremonial toque and saber for the monthly meetings. It's very, very. It's very, very solemn.
I'll now reveal to the world the technique that I use to achieve that. I paid attention.
Amazing. I'm sorry, my social software has not been upgraded to that extent, so I still forget names 10 seconds afterwards. So.
I've got Asperger's, but I paid attention. next story. Numerous apps caught up in Apple's new store review policy to ban gambling-related apps. Couldn't be happier about this. I vented about a year ago about a dive-in application that was great, but before you could play it, you had to play a Wheel of Fortune every single day, and it was available for four-year-olds, which really pissed me off. That should be a 17-plus game every single time. But they're complaining now that apparently if you've got always-on internet access, it automatically thinks that you're gambling-related, and it throws you out anyway. Anyone got anything on this? Or have I just picked a story that's way too niche?
Well, no, because you have kids, so I mean, I can see that. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of people who have had to be in that position probably feel the same way as you do. Yeah, unfortunately, I leave my kids in a little rubber sack and throw it in the corner, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it really annoyed me that they've got gambling-esque paraphernalia around apps, and that doesn't seem to stop them putting 4+ on it, so. But okay, fair enough. That story's crap.
Yes.
yes. Thank you for agreeing, Anthony.
Jesus. Well, no, you're smart enough to acknowledge and to appreciate that. That's manly behavior.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Mature behavior.
That's two thumbs up from Andy for the day. Former Tesla lead engineer Doug Field returns to Apple to work on Project Titan. I do believe actually that you still do have a live bet, Andy, with Carl Swagger that a TV may come, but we didn't put a limit on it, did we, when you actually made the bet 5 years ago, so it's still technically valid.
Can we also clarify that I was betting that it would not come?
Yeah, no. Yeah, you said not. Carl said yes. And he's still sticking with that, by the way. 5 years down the line, he's still holding on to it.
So basically, any time between like 2012 and the heat death of the universe.
I think you're both going to have to will each other the $20. That's the only way it's ever going to close.
If you're in this for the long game, you can wait like 50 or 60 years when Apple has like gone kaput and they become one of these companies like Polaroid, where you can just like basically license the sticker with the Apple logo on it and buy a TV. License the logo and say, this is the Apple TV. Collect the money that I promised never to actually send you.
That's what Kyle's doing. That's his strategy, clearly, right there.
Maybe the bet can be retroactive, so Kyle can win based on the Macintosh TV in 1990-something.
True. Also, this is audio, so if you were to spell it phonetically and trademark that, you could probably collect. But again, what I'm saying is I'm very, very good at weaseling out a win on bets that I should not have taken up in the first place. So
he's going to talk to Patrice. Patrice is going to start a German firm that's going to rebrand a Panasonic TV and call it Apple. And then he's going to say, well, actually, you see, Apple is for Apple. So therefore, right. So Doug Field, I think we can all agree, let's not put $20 bets on this that will never expire, that Apple is not making a car.
No, they've said as much.
Right, okay, no dissenters. But Gruber's still talking about the fact that this is part of a project with Bob Mansfield for a self-driving car.
System,
yeah, okay. But I don't see Apple getting into the controls market for cars either.
I mean, this could be something for their own campus. I mean, let's face it, they're shipping lots of people around there. They've got campuses all over the place. This could just be the software that will initially be used for campus-only people or buses.
I'll say it again. They are building, the ultimate goal is a car as a service thing, and the reason is twofold. Whether Apple does it themselves or not, that remains to be seen. But it's all the services. When you're not driving, Apple has a bunch of products and services that they can sell you that will give you stuff to do as you're riding around in your self-driving car. There's a whole ecosystem they can build up around an autonomous vehicle system or autonomous vehicles being on the road where they can make a lot of money. And I think it's one of their plays for the future.
I think it's more abstract than that. I doubt that they're going to be coming out with an actual car because even Tesla, the most motivated and best funded company, had a long time figuring out it's easy to make 1,000 really expensive sports cars and sell them to enthusiasts. It's much, much more difficult to try to make something on the level of a Toyota Corolla. When you're trying to make 100,000 a year, that's damn difficult. If you think about the abstract about this, about what autonomous car technology has to do, you realize that every time they acquire these people with this great experience, they're not just acquiring technology and know-how and development for a self-driving car. They are acquiring, here's how you take a live video stream, break down and identify objects in that field and do useful stuff with it and track that in real time. Here's how an AI system that keeps learning and learning and learning. And here's how you do things with multiple things at massive scale. This is all the software that they develop. I'm sure that if they were to make a commercial use out of it, there's a lot of opportunities in public transit to license out the whatever software that they develop. But it really, really is important on figuring out, here's how we do signal processing. This is why the iPhone in 3 or 4 years is going to be better. This is why if they want to do like a wearable, as their another longstanding rumor, if they want to do some sort of a wearable augmented reality device, all the people who are developing stuff for the car stuff, I doubt that they're even necessarily. I bet that internally, it's a group of people that are developing this core big ball of rice of different technologies. One of whose applications is going to be cars, but they're not necessarily specifically working towards a car. They're working on all kinds of stuff that's going to benefit a whole class of different projects further on down the line. So
yeah, and I think totally one of those things. I mean, I agree. Apple's not going to make a car, but they might contribute towards a car operating system. I don't see that as out of the realm of possibility. They're the series, the brains that powers your car, and it's going to have to interact with all those systems, and they're going to want to make sure that they have enough control and understanding of all those things that Andy talked about, the AI, the things that can point out and make sure you know that that's a ball rolling across the street and a kid may follow it and all those kinds of things. But Apple's not going to put out an Apple-branded car, but I don't see any reason why they wouldn't want to be involved in the systems that power and operate those cars.
I just, there's a bit of me that sits and thinks Apple's too risk-averse to integrate a car control system, because if it goes wrong, it's a Ford Pinto for them, if they're not careful. It is. I mean, there is mass gain available, I grant you, but there's James, stop typing, for Christ's sake. I know you're sorry. It's all I've heard.
Are you sure it's me?
I'm positive it's you. There's mass liability associated with that kind of product. That people are going to override controls. They're going to cheat controls. They're going to hurtle down highways and stuff like that. And Apple is just not that kind of a risk friendly company.
That's why they're trying it on their employees first.
Very good. That's very good.
They're supposedly doing that autonomous bus, right? That's supposed to be the first implementation of their technology. They're going to shuttle their workers from their homes, to the campus.
Yeah, that'll give them a lot of experience in the software and trying to track, okay, that's not a bird, that's an egg being thrown at the windows by citizen activists.
You could just see someone sitting there, because they're geeks, of course, don't forget, and they're going to be hurtling towards this huge truck that's coming towards them, gripping the seat leather in front, going, bug, bug, bug!
they're Apple employees, so they'll be, I'm sure this will all turn out perfectly okay. And even if something,
and it's
we'll
too bad
that
people.
That truck did not decide to get out of the way of this bus. This bus would not be in oncoming traffic unless that was the best possible solution.
The car's lying on the roadside in a crumpled heap and the screen pops up. Do you want to submit an error report?
The windshield pops out
and it will be marked as a duplicate.
So I wonder what spinning beach ball looks like here in Hawaii when you're rolling across the ocean highway.
Right, fellas, okay, we're going to stop there, put down the defamation action, let's move on. Apple Pay gains momentum with estimated 250 million users, and I got to say, what's kind of interesting is there's the number of transactions that have taken place. There's now over a billion transactions taking place on Apple Pay. But look at that growth rate. I mean, that is climbing and accelerating pretty hard. Mm-hmm. Apple's now Visa or MasterCard. Yeah, this is Express already.
This actually might even color into what we were just talking about car technology. Apple has really figured out that they're making a lot of money off of iPhones. There's no end to that in sight. But services are a big part of where it's at. It's one thing to be able to sell somebody a $1,000 phone that you manufacture for $600 or $700. It's another thing to say that every time someone buys something, you get a cut of that. It does. Right. You're now in the business of selling every piece of music that exists. You're now in the business of selling snow tires. You're now in the business of selling absolutely everything. If everything results in you getting money paid somehow, you are either a brilliant Apple strategist or a neighborhood mob boss.
Every time I recharge my Starbucks card, Apple gets a cut now.
And there is a fine line between those, Andy and Echo.
Oh, yes.
Not as fine as you think, yes.
Yeah.
You could also be a government, but
you are the Gotti or you are the Getty, one of the two.
I think services is going to be a real important market for Apple, and I think Andy's right. Maybe they can get you to sell buy a $1,000 phone, but eventually the upgrade cycles are going to slow down on the phones and the iPads, and hardware is just not going to do it anymore. And you're going to reach a point at which even Apple can't get people to buy it. $2,000 phone or whatever it is. So services is going to be more and more critical to where they're going. I wrote about this for Fast Company, and my point there was that people are excited about buying a shiny new iPhone, but they're not as excited about paying for their iCloud services. So there may be a bit of a hurdle to try to make those services either appealing enough to make people want to buy them or invisible enough so that people don't even know that they're paying for them and they don't really care. And I think that's where the other services that we're talking about, Apple Pay and things like that, come in, because those are really just transparent to the users. And if it adds convenience, they're not going to balk at it. And they're not going to look at, well, how is Apple making its money here? It's just, this is a great way to do this.
Yeah. How does anybody feel about, I've had a couple of people mention this and I've mulled it around in my head, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, but Apple at some point bundling that stuff in. So you buy a new iPhone and just like you would pay X for AppleCare Plus, it's like, well, do you want to pay for a year of iCloud and the iPhone and AppleCare all at the same time, sort of one bundled price?
Yeah, and add $3 a month to your bill, which nobody will link at when you're buying I think the bundles are a smart idea. I don't know if that's where they're going, but I do like the idea of it. And somebody's been floating around the idea of sort of an Amazon Prime type service, which I think has some interesting possibilities too.
Yeah. What I'm hoping for out of Apple Pay, and I know this is a stretch, but this is what I'm really hoping for. When I travel to Asia, mostly Japan, Korea, and China all have it, but I go to Japan the most. We have what's known as a Suica system, right? And so a Suica system is a sort of payment system that basically lives in your phone. And what's really cool about Suica is it works in any convenience store, a vending machine, regular stores, trains. I can catch a train. I can pay all of my utilities. I can do everything with this one particular card. And what's great about that is it's like having a wallet that you have with you all the time, whether it's the plastic card or the thing, but it doesn't require any pins or any typing or any of that. It's just a near field card. You rub it on a thing and it counts. Now, I would love to see it where I can literally pay for just about anything with Apple Pay without having to reach in the back, pull out a wallet, do whatever, and then have that extra security that Apple has over Suica. But I'd like it to be as, sort of pervasive as that. And I think Apple has a good chance to get in there, because we're still talking about postal banking as a political issue here, and I don't think we're quite there yet. So Apple might be in position before we get nationwide postal banking, which I wish we had.
Right. It's I forgot what I was going to say. Get me. Carry on.
He's right. It needs ubiquity, and that's since the very beginning. That's the issue, right? It's still, especially here in the States with Apple Pay, it's getting better, a lot better than it was a year ago. But you don't have that ubiquity. So until I can only have my phone on me as my wallet, we're just not there yet.
And it actually works. I mean, I've had issues where, like at Walgreens, it just didn't work at all.
That's Walgreens.
That can be systems down though too, right? I mean, I've had credit cards where the credit card just didn't work, the Stripe wore out, or whatever it was. I mean, that's going to happen no matter what with any technology, I think, from time to time.
That's true, but not in this case. It's every time. Every time I tried, every time it doesn't work.
And we're starting to see these things shake out, right? If we're not at ubiquity, at least I think we may be approaching critical mass, and you see some of the other players starting to fall by the wayside, like currency. That was, Walmart was behind that one, and they were going to kill Apple Pay and all that. And I think, was it Rite Aid? One of the drugstores, I think, was also a part of that.
CVS.
Thank you. Yeah. And I think it was just last week that they announced, they're on board with Apple Pay too. So if you get between Android Pay and Apple Pay, you have pretty much the whole market covered. And I don't think you need one standard, as nice as that might be. If you have two, you're going to cover pretty much everybody.
Visa and MasterCard.
The secret is it is actually in the background one standard because it's all EMV.
Right.
The technology, absolutely.
Yeah.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by TSO Host. They have been absolutely wonderful and stepped in and saved us with two massive servers that are superb. We're running on them now. I actually forgot last night that we were running on the server. The switchover's been that smooth. From our end, thanks to Patrice, Anders and Adam for all the work that they've done in doing the transfers. We've still got the main server to move over, but that's a bit of a longer process, and we've got a lot more people involved to help with that. But Patrice, you did a great job, mate, with the live server. It went over last night. I'd forgotten until I read this bit out that it was definitely going over. So thank you. TSO Host, we're going to get a load of offer codes and that kind of stuff set up. We're still in the very early days with them, but you can still transfer your service over. If you've got a renewal coming up, just transfer your domain over to TSO Host and then do the renewal with them. At the moment, that their offers, they've got like 40% off domain names, which is horrifically good. So you're not going to be too upset at that the prices are moving over. So please support TSO Host. And like with all the people that support our network, if you can, please make sure that you go out on Twitter and say thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech. And also the people that give us the wonderful software that allows me to do all this, the live streaming stuff. If you go to Wirecast and use that, then this is what this stuff does. It's brilliant. If you've got a sports event or anything like that, you can control pan, tilt, zoom cameras, a place of worship, a club, anything where you want to do a live broadcast. This is absolutely the way to go. Telestream.net sell it for you, and you'll enjoy it. And they also do ScreenFlow 10, which is a fantastic piece of software for grabbing steam. Stop messaging me, Doc. It's pinging in the background. You're ruining the professionalism and the sponsor reads. James, stop frigging typing. And that's it.
I've been on mute the whole time.
Oh, okay. Sorry, man. I dissed you wrongly. And then last one is Ooh Review. We've got this on all of the shows now. It's a brilliant, brilliant system. Imagine that you've got someone who comes in and uses your service and then walks away and just doesn't come back. They always reckon there's an adage that one person complains, 25 just don't come back. So Ooh Review is the way of engaging with those people that are upset with you. You can have an anonymous review system where people can say good or bad things about you. But if you'd like to get in touch with the person who's left you a nasty review, then you can. So rather than just coming back with it on TripAdvisor like you do or something like that, where you then get embroiled in an argument, in a private, you can have a conversation with the person, say, okay, thanks very much for your feedback. Tell us where we can improve because we're keen to get better. And they can write to you, and at no point do they give up their anonymity. They are totally sealed off. Ooh Review deal with all your communications back and forth. And there's even systems which we're going to use, because if you want to have a benefit in kind or a prize for leaving a review, then Ooh Review's got a randomized lottery system built in. So what we're saying is everyone who leaves us a review in August on OOReview, you're going to get entered into a draw, and the draw will mean that you could win a My Band. There you go. So it's a fitness little tracker that goes on your arm, and we're going to do one every month all the way up to Christmas. So leave us a new review, totally anonymous. We had a great review last week, came from someone in New Zealand who said, I can't review from the future because I'm ahead of where I saw the show published. And we sent it on to a review, and they were over the moon that someone had troubleshot for them. So absolutely perfect. Really, really good system. Please, please, please use it. Send us a review on a review. And if we get a few comments, we'll read them out. Like the one that says Muller's microphone technique and camera technique are absolutely brilliant. But I kept hitting him last night, and he did confess that he sent that one in. Right.
Love it.
Based on the fact that that's a cool thing, let's move on to the cool things. Doc, start us off with your expensive pick.
I got two really high-tech picks. The first one is this little switch on the side of the iPhone so that when you get a text, it doesn't make noise during the live stream. You just switch it over to me. You can see the orange. And you don't hear the noise.
You patronizing Git, because actually...
That's right.
It's iMessages on me Mac that's doing it.
Then, okay, option...
Do not disturb. Option,
press the little thing in the corner like I have done, and it doesn't make that noise. Okay, anyway, my actual pick. This is so sick. It's something that I've been wanting to get into for a long time, and I've steered away from it because I knew it was going to be expensive, and I knew I would get addicted to it, and I wouldn't be able to stop. But now, here's a actually kind of affordable way to do this. This is a new product that's coming out. It's called the Lifeform. And what it allows you to do is to connect this device to any projector, and all of a sudden you can do that super sick projection mapping on the side of events. So when I set up my street market, when I have my little DJ booth in the street market, I am sat directly across from this large office building that happens to be closed, you know, during the night of the street event. So what I would be able to do is take my Sony projector, connect this guy on it, connect it to my laptop, and I could project cool things onto that building and bring that building to life while I'm doing my little DJ set. And I mean, this thing is cool for marketing. Huh?
Are they happy about that?
No, nobody's in the building. It's a state court office building. So all the state workers at 3:30 on Friday, they're ghosts. So it's just empty for the whole weekend. So, but I mean, because it's kind of, when you look at the night drop of this event, it's such a beautiful thing with all the tents and, you know, the ocean's not that far away. And, you know, it's a nice bustling neighborhood, but that one boring court building looks so ugly in the neighborhood. It'd be really cool to do something cool with it. But I mean, you could use it for a store. You could use it for art displays. You can use it just for, you know, something cool in your house, say during Christmas. Doing backdrops for plays is great for weddings and events. And projection mapping is something I've been interested in a long time. If you haven't checked it out, go on YouTube and look at some of the really cool projection mapping stuff that they do at, like, the Art Museum in Boston has done before. Most of the MoMAs have done really cool projection mapping installations. And this one is easy. Like, somebody with the skills of James will blow this out of the water. I hate to give James any accolades, but it's true.
He's struggling with mute.
Huh?
He's struggling with mute.
Yeah, but he got this 3D stuff unlocked. So you have to check it out. Like, I think this is really one of the coolest things, and I can see where this will make it into the house soon as you know, the prices go down, allowing your kids to do really cool, you know, like temporary artworks on the wall rather than actually drawing on your wall. But I think 3D projection mapping is boss.
It's something not, you it's gotta only, check out. It's 700. It's pretty cool. But Doc, it's $700. It's not exactly a lot anyway, considering how powerful it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, this is relatively inexpensive, because before, to do this, you were looking at, you know, 20, 30 grand, and now it's getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And then so, I mean, we're not that far from being able to do this with a little Pico projector type thing. And I mean, for a coffee shop, you know, like that little menu piece you just saw, or just something to have your customers walk in your shop and go, wow, that's cool. And then they start bringing friends to come and check it out. I mean, yeah, it's really cool what it can do. So I'm just looking forward to buying this.
Oh, my life. Mate,
I thought I cost you money.
Oh, mate.
Shut up and take my money.
James, what do you say, James? Because this is your alley, bro.
Yeah, I mean, thank you very much. I've not seen this before. It is incredible. And they said the price point, if you're a business and you want to do some big event, this is going to be peanuts. But yeah, if you're just 3D or any sort of motion graphics, you're going to be all over this from Rash. It's incredibly cool. I will be spending some time on this website once this podcast is over. Thank you so much. That's brilliant.
Hey, Ewan, I have an idea for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so you talk to your railway people, right? And so this train pops into the station, and while it's sat there on the reload, you know, every once in a while at the end of the tube, you have a reload section where it's empty for like 3 or 4 minutes while they reset, move to the other end, whatever, right? Yeah. Imagine throwing some cool presentation or advertisements or whatever on the side of the train while it's sat there for the reload, but you're not literally stickering the beautiful train.
I'm going to say, I would say that one of the things that one of my suppliers do is they sticker up a car. So they'll get an Audi R8 and they'll literally just cover it in stickers, and they'll have in their contract, if these stickers don't come off, you're in deep up. So they have to get it off afterwards. All you'd need is 3 projectors, and you could cover the car in whatever you want. The logos could rotate. You could change. You could have scrolling messages.
This
would completely revolutionize exhibition stands for vehicle wrapping and stuff like that.
It'd be super sick. You could talk about, like, here's the engine. Like, here's a new braking system. Here's a new, like, you know, hybrid plug-in fuel thing. But you're never touching the car. So the brochure is moving along the side of the car while the customer's standing there looking at it.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, mate. I'm blown away by that. I'm half hovering over a credit card.
Thank you,
bastard. Patrice, what have you got for us? Something cheaper, I hope.
It's all relative. So what I got here is the Beats Studio Wireless. Sorry, the naming scheme is always a little bit weird. I got them for the airplane. So I was looking for all the business trips I have and whatever. I needed good headphones for the flight with like noise cancellation, because it's really annoying if all this white noise during the flight, and I just wanted to like block that out. And also at the airport, like all the people talking and all of that. So I went online, did quite a bit of research to figure out what are the best options. And it turned out it was either, I think it was a Sennheiser, Bose, the Bose QuietComfort, or it was those ones. Because this was easier to get and because I like the design, I got those. This is, by the way, the 10-year edition, so it comes in like black and red. It has the same chip, as far as I know, as the AirPods, so the wireless range is crazy good, and the noise cancellation is surprisingly good. I haven't had any issues with it. It really just works. And the cool thing is, as said, on the plane, you can just plug them in. So they work both wirelessly and with a cable.
Brilliant.
And I think that is a big benefit.
Did you say cost? Did you say cost?
No, $350.
They got to be good then.
Yeah, they're about the same price as the Bose ones. Feature-wise and price-wise, they're almost the same. So it was like, okay,
cool.
Doesn't matter.
Stick us a link in the chat room, mate. Thank you.
Yep, will do.
Andy, what do you have for us?
I'll give you two things, because I just realized the thing that I was going to show you is probably not going to be amazingly useful to people in the UK, but still is kind of cool.
Go for it anyway.
Yes. Well, a couple things. Now, so I have a constant travel problem, because I usually have to travel, but like, this is the charger for my camera, and like, it has got one of these ubiquitous like figure-8 sort of power jacks on it, which means that I've got to take this, not only this brick, but another one of those figure-8 cables, and they don't really pack very well, and it's just a pain in the butt. But if you go on Amazon, you can actually find one of these, which is just a simple right angle power plug, and then you just plug it into this right here directly, and then you can plug it straight into the wall. which is saves me so much time packing. They're only like $6 or $7 each. I don't know if there's an equivalent for UK style power, but again, it's pretty nice. There is another step to this, however. You might not need to even buy one of these, because after I talked about this elsewhere, somebody else told me that when they travel, they will just like remove the power thing from their Apple AC adapter and accomplish almost the same thing. It's not quite as deep, but the next time that I find that I've forgotten to pack like the right power cable for one of these, I'm definitely going to use that trick.
Well, we can definitely do the second one.
Excuse me?
We can definitely do the second one.
Yes, absolutely. But for one thing that's kind of universal, though, is this has quickly become like one of those favorite apps that if it ever disappeared, my life would be very, very unhappy. It's called Liquid Text, and it is like it doesn't do it justice to call it a PDF reader for the iPad, because it's just so much more than that. So yes, it does do the things that you would sort of expect a PDF reader to do. So yes, it will open up PDF files. Yes, you can share PDF files from Dropbox into it. Yes, you can paste in a URL and it will download that web page and turn it into a PDF. And yes, you can mark up that PDF if you want. But the really cool thing, which I can't really demonstrate here, but you have to take my word for it, it is so good at the problem of I have a long, long PDF, like a research paper or a press release or a Senate testimony. Yes, believe it or not, because of my work now, I have to do a lot of stuff reading Senate testimony and that sort of stuff. It is so, so good at letting you basically organize all the information from these PDFs that's valuable and putting it into an order that really makes sense to you. So we're not just talking about highlighting things in place. We're talking about highlight something, then drag it into a gutter. And now you're basically connecting things so that you've got every single piece of every single quote you need, every single table you need and staff you need. You can organize these PDFs together so that if I'm going to be talking on the radio in a week about something, about the possible changes that Congress is thinking about making to our Copyright Act, I can basically download every single legal filing, every single brief, every single thing like this, and very, very quickly turn it into a collection that has not only my original subjects, but also just the stuff I'm going to want to talk about or just going to want to quote. And ever since I found this about a month ago, I've been using it not just for that, but really all kinds of online reading. Now, every time that there's a long text on the web that I want to hold on to, it will eventually wind up in Liquid Text, and it's sort of becoming my file cabinet for stuff I'm going to want to refer to later on. It's free. If you pay extra money, you get a few extra features, but the core features are all available to you for free, and it's one of those situations where I didn't even stop to think about whether or not I wanted the pro features or not. I just wanted to throw money at these people, because it's not just an incredibly useful app for my purposes, but I would put it to you that this is one of those apps that isn't just great on the iPad, but it shows why the iPad is great. They didn't just take a desktop idea and transmogrify it or blow up a phone app. They really thought about, here's how we can execute this idea perfectly on a device like the iPad. Couldn't possibly be happy with it, and it gets my highest recommendation.
Brilliant, mate. Good pick. Thank you. James, what do you have?
Sorry, I had to take myself off.
Mute. Well done. Well done, mate. Okay. I'm pleased. Thank you.
I don't know whether I've used this before, so I'm going to just do it again in case somebody missed it. There's this app called FaceCap, and it's actually free. And if you are a guy who's the 3D like me, this will actually capture your face using your iPhone camera. And what it does, it will obviously project onto your face. You can record a voice with it. And then it saves it as an FBX file, which you can then import into a 3D program and then sort of alter it to do like a puppet, if you like, of yourself. It's really cool. This kind of software, again, like doc stuff with the projection, normally costs thousands and thousands of pounds. This is one app which is free. It allows you to record sort of 5 seconds initially, and then you can unlock it with a purchase inside. There's a link in the chat there. It's really good, and again, I say it supports FBX, which is pretty much any 3D application. But again, for motion capture that you need to do of anybody, I think it's pretty awesome.
Hardware, is it got to be, is it any iOS device or is it
10 only? Just looking now, it says requires iOS 11.4 compatible with iPhone, iPad and iPod Touch.
Oh, okay, so it's not just 10 then. Right, cool.
Yeah. It's worth going. It's like it's a free app, so you could try it on your app and see how you get on with it. But I'm sure Blender, which is a free 3D app, would support that as well, the FBX file. It's the fact that it saves the WAV file as well, so once you finish capturing what you need, it will give you the WAV file with the actual motion capture data and allow you to import that straight into your application. Again, if you're into 3D, it's a really cool thing to play with.
You recommended the Qlone app, didn't you, for 3D capture of things on a turntable?
Yeah, so you can either print out a barcode and go around the table.
I bought a turntable. I'm going to have a go.
No way, really?
Yeah, okay. I bought a little tiny turntable that spins slowly. So I'm going to fix the camera up and then have a go. The only problem you've got is you've got to print a big enough piece of turntable so that it actually spins and covers the device, the item, so the item's not lapping over the edge visually. So,
right.
Be giving that a go, and I'll be playing with FaceCap, definitely. Good pick, mate.
Hey, no worries, free.
Chuck, your cool thing?
Sure. So my cool thing is sort of inspired by James the past couple of weeks, and I'm going to show it to you. So like Andy, I am currently a full-time freelancer, which means I'm doing a lot more writing. My favorite keyboard of all time is my Apple Desktop 2, right? Apple Extended Keyboard. Sorry, I'm losing names. it's got a great feel, great throw. It reminds me more of typing on my old IBM Selectric than anything I've ever used, but it is a little loud, which is what reminded me of James. but it uses the ADB bus, the Apple Desktop bus from way back in the day, which is unfortunately no longer supported by anybody. But I love the keyboard and I wanted to keep using it. Griffin used to make something called the iMate, which allowed which was an adapter that went from ADB to USB. They don't make it any longer. It's really hard to find. If you go on the internet, you can find some plans to make your own. And it'll probably cost you, I think I've seen estimates of about $8 to $15. That's if you have your own soldering equipment and the skills to use it. I found a guy who makes an adapter himself. It's called ADB to USB. It calls the company Drakware. I put the link in the show notes.
Does what
for $20, he makes these for you and then prints his own 3D printed enclosures for it. So you just plug a micro USB in one side and that goes to your computer. And the keyboard plugs in via the ADB port, and it works beautifully. And the really neat thing about it is that you can also map your keyboard. So you know, newer keyboards have controls for playback and for audio and lighting. You can map those controls to the function keys on your Apple Extended Keyboard, and it'll work just like a modern keyboard. You get that great feel, that satisfying click when you type that makes you feel like Ernest Hemingway. Had Ernest Hemingway used a Mac, I guess. And I love it. So it's $20. It's available directly from the Drakware website. And again, the link is in the show notes.
How's he making any money at $20? That's ridiculous.
I don't know. I get the side feeling gig. He's not really into it for, you know, to become rich, but he does have some other products there. And if you already have your own 3D printer, maybe that's not as expensive and he probably figured out a cheaper way to do it. So, I mean, if he's making them for $10 and selling them for $20, that's a pretty good margin.
I predict that it's not going to be a side gig for very long, and he's going to be a very, very busy, overworked and underpaid provider soon.
I don't know how big the market is for ADB to USB adapters, but I hope he gets his share of it.
Well, you've got an old Mac, mate. Massive. Adam, what have you got for us as a cool thing?
Believe it or not, I have a podcast app, and I don't think it's new, but it's new to me. And I found this the other day because they had done a update to this app to allow for direct selling of podcast episodes through the app. The app is called Breaker. It's at breaker.audio. It's a very simple, straightforward podcast app. Has all the standard features that you would want: play, pause, skip, you know, play at speed, remove the silences, all the stuff you'd expect from a podcast app. It's got a nice clean interface. It takes the inbox approach. So for people who like apps, like I think Castro does this, there's a few podcast apps out there. So you subscribe to things and new episodes kind of come into a single playlist that you can then control the order on. They even have a really nice feature where you can mute stuff that you subscribe to, so it won't go into your inbox. So for those shows that you maybe want to selectively pick episodes, you can add episodes in manually. So that's all great. I mean, and again, there's a lot of podcast apps that do that. What puts this one over the top, I think, and makes it different is it focuses on social. And I have a feeling part of the reason is the CTO of this company is Leah Culver, who you may remember that name from back in the day with Dig. She worked with Kevin Rose on a social project that's no longer around anymore called Pounce, but something that was also very interesting. So if you remember Pounce, one of the key people involved with Breaker is involved with this. And so it has this social aspect. And what's really cool is you can follow people, you can add friends within the podcast app, and then you can start to share podcasts, also comment on podcasts, and you get recommendations based on what your friends are listening to and liking and stuff like that. And so the commenting is really cool because when you comment, it will actually also time code those comments. So you can actually click and jump when you see a comment that somebody made right to the section of the podcast that they're actually commenting on, which is something I've wanted for a really long time in podcasts. And so, like I said, this has been around for a while. They just added a new feature where if you want to sign up with them, you can sell your podcasts or do subscriptions right through the app to podcast content. So you can sell one episode or you can sell a subscription to your episodes. But I like this just for the social features and following your friends. And so it's breaker.audio. I'm also going to post a link in the chat to my profile page because there's another cool thing if you're a podcaster that they do. So breaker.audio/you/Mattcast is my profile page. And if you go to that link, what's cool is you can see the stuff that I subscribe and listen to, but also you get a list of all of the episodes that I have been a guest on, which is really interesting. I'm not sure how they're doing that exactly, but somehow they have a list of shows that I've actually been a guest on, including like Mac Voices, which I was on just recently for in the lead up to Mac Stock. So really cool app. About the only feature that it's missing that I wish it had was support for chapters. It doesn't have that yet, but hopefully that's something I'll add at some point. And I think it's a great alternative. I'm using it. I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I like the ability to sort of comment and then also see what my friends are listening to. And you can send your friend an episode if you think there's something particularly interesting they should check out. So it's really cool. And like I said, it's been around for a while, I think about a year at least. And I'm just discovering it now.
Excellent.
And it's free. So it doesn't confuse anybody. It does say in-app purchases on the page for it, but what they're referring to is the if you want to subscribe to a paid podcast that's available through the app, that's what they're talking about in terms of subscription. So the subscription is handled through your iTunes, and it does use Apple Pay. You can use Apple Pay too, I think, to buy subscriptions. It's all powered by Stripe. So
That's cool.
That is good. My cool thing, and I haven't done the read for them because of this, are my Unico glasses. I sodding love these things. They are the best thing I've ever
had. They're lovely. I was going to compliment you on those. Those are really nice glasses.
Yeah, no, I've got two pairs. So they did me one for just general use and wear. That's what I wear day to day. And then these are the ones that I use for the show, done in tungsten. But the whole process of getting your face measured, using the whole technology that the Apple, that the iPhone X uses to scan all the little dents and nooks and crannies and that kind of stuff, and then putting the lenses in the exact position where they're supposed to be so that your vision is completely perfect and not impaired by compromising the frame, and then 3D printing the frame around where those lenses are supposed to be is just a magical process. And you get the glasses out and you put them on your face and it's just like, yeah, these were made for me. They are actually made for me. And you get your initial on the inside of the glasses. They are that unique. They are built for you and for no one else. And I can't, I've been blown away by them. I love my Avantex. They were great. They were full. They were light. And then when I broke those, because I lost them at the bash, and I had to get another pair made that were just standard acrylic frames. It's like, oh, heavy acrylic frames. That's really, really nice. But now I've gone back to light stuff. This, I mean, this is beautifully thin, and it's as strong as you like. It stands up to all kinds of stuff. They are beautiful glasses. They're not cheap, but they are stunning, stunning glasses, and I thoroughly, thoroughly recommend them. As the BTN Army, your job is to go and find Hoya stockists around the UK, walk in and say, do you do your NICU by Hoya? And if the answer is no, go, oh, that's a shame, and walk away. Because every stockist of Hoya lenses should be stocking a Unica machine. They are the best things since sliced bread. And if you see them in America, guys, and you can use them, start asking about and seeing if you can get them in, because they're well worth the money. They're easily worth the money. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
I'm trying to figure out why they accidentally send me Wesley Pennybaker's glasses. I have a little WP in the corner. all over the internet at DOCROCK and on the Solid Podcast at solid.fm.
Excellent, mate. Thank you. Patrice, where are you?
As always, almost every week here on The Mech Show, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Andy? Great having you back, mate. Don't leave it so long next time, mate. There's a good fella.
Great being back. Since we had that dialogue about spelling my last name, that'll come in handy, because if you spell my last name correctly, you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter and on my personal blog, anotgo.com, and at anotgo everywhere else. I'm also on I'm also on MacBreak Weekly on the Twit Network every week. I do the Material Podcast every week also for Relay.fm. That's all about Google and basically running myself semi-ragged. If you're listening to the stream, by the way, right before the show started, I got a text message from a friend at the huge...
Oh, what on earth
just happened?
I'm in an ethereal place.
Oh, Apple, you bastards. No, so the thing is, right, it wouldn't let me. So Apple wouldn't let me do screen share on the computer, so I had to enable and give my Mac ID to all of the computers. So now they've all picked up the phone call from a mate of mine.
Do not disturb. Ewan,
right, sorry.
Look into it.
Where were you? No, no, sorry, mate, go on.
No, there's a way to even configure which devices ring and which don't.
Okay, thanks, mate, but this is me you're talking to. Go on, Andy, sorry, carry on.
Oh, no, just a quick mention that if you're going to be in the Boston area this weekend, Fan Expo is the former Boston Comic Con is this weekend, and I was going to be, as of noon today, I was going to be just going for a couple of days, and because it's nearby, and just taking pictures and hanging out, but then I got a text message from someone saying that one of their moderators has been unable to attend, cool. And so literally 20 minutes after, a half hour after the show stops, I'm going to be jumping on a train and interviewing Chris Sarandon from wow. And then doing a whole bunch of other interviews and panels over the weekend. So if you want to see me unprepared, brilliant, and maybe with what I look like when I'm trying to impress someone from my dinner with Andre or from The Nightmare Before Christmas, then you can have a good chance of seeing me flop sweat live on stage.
Excellent, mate. So what we'll do is we'll have to get you booked a regular slot, and we'll book you up for the next 10 years, and then you can't get out of it.
Again, we can negotiate that.
Good idea.
Yeah.
We'll go with option. We'll have an option to renew.
Longer-term contracts could come cheaper for me. That's what I'm thinking. James, where can we get a hold of you, buddy?
Hi, guys. Yes, you can get me at james@idiscover.tv, where, as always, I'm giving the guys at... BTN code for my training, which is giving me 20% off. And I'm at Twitter at James Rickards. That's RACKARD.
And iDiscover TV is cool stuff in motion and cinema 4D and that kind of stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely.
As you are an animator.
All things 3D.
Brilliant. Chuck, where are you, mate?
I'm at Chuck Latornis on Twitter, which will get you pretty much everything else I'm doing. Main site now these days is randomaccess.com, which is being updated daily for the first time in a long time. And I realized that Random Access has been around now for 22 years.
Jeez.
So that If that doesn't...
Good Lord.
Nothing will. As I mentioned, I'm also doing a lot more writing, so you can catch me on Fast Company and Macworld. And on August 23rd, I'm going to be a guest on our friend Tom Merritt's Daily Tech News show.
So oh, if you excellent.
Want to look me up there. That should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. You enjoy that, mate. Good show. Not been invited back for a while. I think I said something I shouldn't. And Matt asked, Adam, where are you?
You just did it for me, basically. MattCast.com, MattCast on social media, and MattCast on your favorite podcast app.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much.
Like Breaker.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. The network's at British Tech on Twitter. We've got a Facebook page. We've got all the usual shebang that you're supposed to have, and an Instagram page that Writing manages and all those. We'll see you again next week as normal. I think we're normal next week. So, and then the week after we're on Wednesday, which will be interesting. Have a great weekend. And thanks for listening to James's dog crawl over the floor for the last hour and a half.
Yes. Bye. You can give Ewan the bell and every phone in Castle Bromwich will ring.
Okay, I'd forgotten about my problems, but all right, fair enough. Fair call.
Thank you.